I think a lot of people struggle when they lose because they're worried about what everybody else thinks. Right. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck what everybody else thinks.
What's going on, everybody? This is Rob Tyson. This is the Climb Audio Documentary Journey. Today, I wanted to talk about a topic that is pretty popular out there with the Libertarian Party. Now, I don't support Libertarian, Democrat, Republican. It gets a little complex, right? But if I were to side with a particular party right now and I had a gun to my head, no pun intended, obviously, I would side with a little bit of conservative mixed in with Libertarian. So I was watching an episode of Joe Jorgensen online, and she was talking about, you know, the decriminalizing, or I guess you would say decriminalizing all drugs, right? And that was a topic that is very hot with that party. And look, there's some pros and cons, but it's not as simple as people think it is. And my background and my experience in functional medicine, though I don't have any credentials from a certification or a degree perspective, however, I have my own experiences that I've been able to overcome due to knowing a lot about functional medicine. That being said, going back to the subject at hand, decriminalizing all drugs. So the biggest problem with this argument is that nobody goes and takes things in consideration as far as the individual is concerned. I'm talking about the individual person. You can't just throw a blanket on everybody, just like every politician does, and make it sound sassy and make it sound sexy and make it sound like cool, because it misleads people. Conservatives hear that and they go, I don't want to decriminalize that, because they immediately go to the negative thoughts. Then you go to like the Democratic, more socialist-based or socialist-supporting individuals that are like, heck yeah, let's decriminalize all drugs. And then they go, you know, top-heavy on that, again, blanketed statement. So if I were an individual or a candidate who was discussing decriminalizing all drugs, I would break it down to the T. And I would try to break it down as quickly and as efficiently as possible, because people think in 15 to 30 second increments these days, because it's some programming that we picked up on social media, in particular Instagram stories, right? For example, people have a short attention span. So how quickly can and efficient can you be? Here's what I would say if I had 30 seconds. It's not as simple as you think it is. Take the gut microbiome, for instance. There's been a lot of research and a connection between the gut and the brain, right? Everyone has a different microbiome, just like everyone has a different DNA, okay? 90% of serotonin is developed in the gut. So if you take that in consideration, which is a complex argument in itself, that whole decriminalizing of drugs is blown out of the water, because all of us are made up differently. If you take a drug, a hallucinogenic drug, you have a compromised gut, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have a terrible experience. As opposed to somebody who has a healthy gut flora, they do eat healthy, they don't have any compromised nerves because of an injury, they're not compromised as far as the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system, and so their experience is going to be better, right? So that's an argument in itself right there, right? Because I went down that path. I had a compromised gut. I had an injury to my back, which then caused me to have bowel issues, which then caused my body to malabsorb a lot of nutrients. And so therefore, if I ever, and which, okay, everyone has done it. I've experimented with hallucinogenics, one of which is marijuana, a long time ago, okay? And I had a terrible experience, and I continued to have a terrible experience because, again, after doing the research, I figured, well, I'm more prone to having panic attacks and anxiety attacks, and I connected that to the gut microbiome. When I fixed my gut microbiome, though I did not dip back into the waters of hallucinogenics, I stopped having panic attacks because I fixed my microbiome, I fixed my nutrition, I fixed my exercise regimen, I started meditating, and things changed. Now, I guarantee if I went back into that experience, I would probably have some negative experiences, maybe not as good as someone who's never had anxiety or who has never had panic attacks, But it would probably be a little bit more pleasant. So my argument is, we can't throw these blanket statements on everybody. Now, if there was something I would make a decision on right now on decriminalizing all drugs, I would take the things that are made in the lab and then say, okay, now if this is caught, because look, let's look at the statistics here. People on the streets that are spazzing out and are uncontrolled, like, people that are, on PHP or speed or something like that, again, a drug that was made in the lab, they lose total control of themselves and they become a nuisance to society, as opposed to somebody who takes a boatload of mushrooms or a boatload of marijuana edibles or something. They go and panic and they go, and yeah, there is a similar experience, but it can be more controlled. You see what I'm saying? What is the severity, or what are the consequences for a drug that's made in the lab as opposed to a drug that's grown in the ground? Take that in consideration. Take the gut microbiome into consideration. Take the individual into consideration. What is the data leaning towards as far as severity? Then say, okay, so if psilocybin, aka mushrooms, has some health benefits, then we're in business. Okay. If there is, what are the health benefits or the therapeutic benefits of marijuana? So hopefully I can pick up where I left off. There was a pause there because somebody called me, but that's the Climb Audio documentary journey for you. We are live. We're not in the studio. We are walking around. Going back to what I was saying, hopefully I can pick up where I left off. Like, people take these things for therapeutic purposes, right? And so there's a lot of benefits to things that are grown in the ground, as opposed to things that are made in the lab. And that's where the line is drawn. That's where I would say, hey, let's decriminalize the things that are beneficial and even put caps on that, right? If you get caught with, 2 pounds of marijuana or 2 pounds of psilocybin, I'm going to be a bit suspicious. You're going to get interrogated and you're going to be questioned, because what is your intent here? Are you trying to sell it underneath the market for cheaper than what you'll find at retail? Then that's a problem. Now, there's a capitalistic approach to all this as well. There's advantages to this as well, to decriminalizing things. We can take a lot of individuals off the black market. Now, there's still going to be people that are going to be slanging pharmaceutical drugs, drugs that need a prescription. That's a big problem. So why not, okay, intensify the consequences for that? Intensify, I mean, I get it. Yeah, well, we do that already. We do that already. Well, do you really do that already? Or do you just slap people on the wrist and say, you're going to get in trouble? And instead of sending them to jail, let's send them to a program, depending on the crime, right? If there's somebody with that does not do the drugs, but gets put in jail for distributing the drugs, those people should have the harshest consequences, because they're the ones that are causing havoc and getting people drugs that are not regulated in the streets. That's the consequences under that are huge. Now, if somebody's an addict, instead of sending them to jail and ruining their lives, send them to let's do actual programs that are going to help them. Like, there's programs to help people get off of opiates using hallucinogenic drugs. Yeah, psilocybin. Wow, did you know that? I know that there's another benefit there. Hey, you know what? We're going to take, and one could argue, well, you're taking them from one drug to another drug. No, if you do it correctly with scientists and physicians who have been studying psilocybin and its impacts on people who are addicted to drugs, and you send them to somebody like that, the outcomes are going to be in their favor, right? And then put them in programs that maybe that if they have interest on becoming like a counselor or somebody who could educate other people, you could put them in a program that will allow them to share their experiences and maybe make a living out of it. There's so many different opportunities. But when they say, let's throw a blanket and say, let's decriminalize everything, it's irresponsible. And I think there's better ways to do it. And I think it's just a buzzword just to get the persons that, in the spotlight of the attention as a presidential candidate. There's way more to it than that. This is Rob Tyson. My thoughts on decriminalizing, or the buzzword or the buzz statement of decriminalizing all drugs. I hope this provides perspective. Take care.